It is good to be here this morning. I am turning in my Bible to Acts chapter 20 to get ready, and we will get there. I do have some introductory comments that I want to make. First, I just want to bring you greetings from Waco Family Baptist Church. We are glad to be here, and our church is praying. I've gotten text messages already this morning that our other elder and our church is praying for this church, for you here at Sovereign Grace this morning. And also from our association, the Texas Area Reformed Baptist Churches. They send greetings and love, and these folks who know and love the Hinojosa family and Arnold send their greetings. The Pastors Association, but more the church, because of the time that the Hinojosas were there, the time that Brother Arnold got to spend helping and serving there alongside me and Pastor Brent. From the time that they came, there has been a special relationship. Arnold and I have been very close, and I will tell you, the first Sunday was Christmas Sunday morning Christmas Day, December 25th, Sunday morning that they came to our church, and it was an accident or a mistake. They were looking for a different church building and wound up at the wrong place. And we know, though, that mistake was a mistake, maybe from our perspective. The world might call that a coincidence, but as Christians, we don't believe in coincidence. We know that it was the providence of God, that it was definitely God's providential working. And it's just been a pleasure to be able to be a friend. Because as I just said earlier with Brother Allen and Brother Arnold, our friendship is not based on common hobbies or the fact that we're from the same place or the fact that we have coffee drinking in common. I'm not a coffee drinker. I haven't matured to that level yet. But our friendship is not based on those things. Our friendship is centered around Christ, around the Word of God. And that is something that's very special. And I can't think of any other person who I would rather be involved in an ordination service for, and who I would be as pleased and privileged to be a part of that. So having said that, I want to move forward. I do thank you as a church for having us here, for allowing me to bring a charge this morning. This morning's message will be a charge. Here's the good news for all of you. The bulk of this message is just for Arnold. This is a charge for the new elder. So you get to listen. Now you must listen because you've got to know what's required. You've got to know what to expect. And you need to know that he's being challenged correctly from the Word of God. But then the last part of the message is a charge for you as a church, bringing on a new elder. And it should be made clear as we begin that I am not ordaining Brother Arnold this morning. I'm not doing that. It's not my place. It is the church that ordains and sets aside elders and deacons. So this is your ordination, church, and I am here as a guest, and you've allowed me to come and take part of this special day in the life of Sovereign Grace Fellowship, and I'm pleased to be here. So I want to take the time that you've given me to present this charge to your new elder and to present a charge to the church. And as we begin, let's talk about what a charge is. Now, when someone mentioned we're going to charge the new elder, Arnold might want to know, well, how much are you going to charge me? It's not that kind of a charge. When we speak of a charge, it's a command. So when we use the word charge, you may think of a soldier, a private in an army, who receives a command, receives instruction from his general, from the commanding officer. And this charge is something that is expected to be followed. The orders are expected to be followed. And when a soldier receives a charge, he doesn't question the order. He doesn't doubt the order. He certainly can't change the orders. He can't change the charge. It's just to be carried out. obeyed just as it was given. So, as I have said, thank you for inviting me, and I am a guest. How is it that I am able to present a charge, a command? I don't have any authority to command Brother Arnold or to command you as a church. And if I stand here and speak of my own accord and from my own authority, then I would be done. So the key with this charge is that my calling, my task here this morning is to speak on behalf of our Lord from His Word. A charge that is a proper charge for a new elder and a proper charge for the church must come from Christ. It must come from His Word. My aim, my calling, my task this morning is not to speak for me, but to speak from God's Word. And because it's God's Word that we'll be receiving this charge from, brother, as much as you are a believer in Christ, as much as you are blood bought, as much as you are called by His Holy Spirit, you are obliged to obey. You are obliged to heed and to do. And church, the same for you. As much as you are believers in Christ, when we hear the commands of God from the Scripture, our obligation is to obey. Now, we can have questions. Why is that? And then the Scripture sometimes gives us the answers. I'm so glad that God gives us the answer to why sometimes. But we don't always have the answer why. Sometimes God says do, and we don't know why, and we just obey. So the expectation is that the charge of the Savior will be carried out because it is His charge and it comes from Scripture. As a church of the living God, whose head and master is the only begotten Son, as the body of Christ, you should hear and obey the voice of the Good Shepherd. So to all who are present, to everyone, the new elder, the church, the visitors, hear the word of the Lord this morning. So if you have turned to the book of Acts, chapter 20, we will read together Acts 20, verses 17 through 31. Acts 20, verses 17 through 31. If you'll follow along in your copy of God's Word, I'm reading from the New American Standard. Acts 20, verses 17 through 21. And I have really messed up with my bifocals. I got single visions and got rid of my bifocals, so I have to go on and off with the glasses, so forgive me for that. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. From Miletus, he, Paul, sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 25, "And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God." Now, I don't expect to expound on that verse in my sermon. So let me just say that now. Arnold, for you to be innocent of the blood of all men, you must not shrink from declaring the whole counsel of God. Verse 28, and this will be where our key text is today. Verse 28, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw you away, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Amen. Let's go now to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning and asking, we ask that you would bless your word, the reading and the preaching of your word. We pray, Lord, as we come, and we come boldly. We come boldly because of the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we ask with confidence that you will bless. Because we believe, we ask in accordance with your revealed will, in accordance with your word, the Holy Scriptures. You instruct us that your word will accomplish your will. We submit ourselves to you this morning. We submit ourselves to your word, to the work of your Holy Spirit, that you will accomplish your will in your people here today. I pray that you would bless this message and that by it you would challenge your man to lead your people as you have set forth in your word that they should be led. I pray that these people, your church, your called out church at Sovereign Grace Fellowship, would follow the leadership that you have placed here, that you have given them as a gift of your love. I pray that in the preaching of your word, Christ's voice would be heard, and that this preacher would decrease. And I pray these things in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and for his kingdom's sake. Amen. Arnold, the first part of this message is addressed to you personally, as I mentioned. It's a charge for the fulfilling of your calling to the gospel ministry. The church, you listen and pay attention so that you will know what is to be expected, so that you'll know what the Scripture puts forth as a job description for your new elder, for your new pastor. We begin looking in verse 28, the first command here, be on guard. Be on guard. This is repeated in verse 31, be on guard, be on the alert. Be on guard, be on the alert. How many times do we see this instruction in Scripture? Be on guard, be alert, walk circumspectly, watch, beware. Over and over again, we're instructed those types of words in Scripture. And every believer should do that. Every believer should walk watching. Be on guard. But Arnold, as an elder, you have a special task here. This is the calling of a pastor to be on guard. Paul, speaking here in this passage in Acts 20, is speaking to the elders, speaking to those who are the leaders of the church at Ephesus. This is the type of thing that we would see when a parent might take a small child and walk across the street. A parent would instruct the child as they cross the street, a good parent would, watch for cars, watch for traffic. But the parent wouldn't just say, well, the child's going to be watching, so I don't have to worry. The parent also watches, and not as a child, but as a mature adult, watching out for their own selves and watching for the child. This is the idea that we get here. this watching of a parent over a child crossing the street is more effective, it's more involved, it's more intense. And in the same way, you, Arnold, as an elder, must be on guard. You must watch. Not as a child, but as an overseer, looking out for yourself as well as those whom God has placed under your care. Be on guard. Be on the alert. That's interesting to me, and I think we should note what is not here. What is it that you are to watch for? And it's important what's not in this passage, because we see so much of what's not in the Scripture that is put into practice in so many places. Don't guard against social injustice. Now, as a man, as a Christian man, we can have feelings towards social injustice, but as an elder, we are not instructed to stop social injustices. We're instructed to preach the gospel. We're not instructed to watch for socioeconomic issues. Those are not the things that we are to be on guard with. We're not told here to feed the poor or to save the downtrodden. Any number of other good things are not listed here. Many good issues and good things are not here. The point is this. When a pastor becomes a spokesman for an issue, that defines who he is. Now, we know of pastors, and we could all think of pastors that have taken up a cause and they're known for that cause. We know of people who go by the name Reverend who are known because they've taken up the issue of race relations or social equality or political activism of some sort. You must not be distracted. Even good things can pull you away or can remove your focus from the gospel. You can't have a focus on the gospel and something else. Satan will use that to pull you and to pull the church away. The focus of an elder and the focus of the church is the proclamation of the gospel and the worship of God. You're not called to be an ambassador for good. You're not called to end suffering in the world. You're called to be a minister of the gospel, to shepherd God's people, to preach the word, the instant in season and out of season. So, there are things that you're not called to. What are you called to? What does the passage tell us that you were called to? Verse 28, first, be on guard for yourself. Now, this is plural because Paul is speaking to a plurality of elders from Ephesus. This morning, it's singular. Be on guard for yourself. And then I would say, as elders together at this church, be on guard for yourselves with one another. But be on guard for yourself. This is of first priority. It is of great importance. Your first task as a pastor elder is to guard your personal holiness. If you leave off guarding your personal holiness, then nothing else will matter. It doesn't matter how good of a pulpiteer you are. It doesn't matter how personable and loving you are with the people. If you lose your personal holiness, nothing else matters. Give special attention to this area because Satan will attack you. And he'll attack you as an elder first and harder and more than all the members of the church. Temptations to sin will be more focused and more intense. Trials will be more difficult. They'll be personal. They'll be more often. But in these things, you must persevere, guarding your personal holiness. Satan has brought down many by bringing down one pastor. Many have been knocked down because of the fall of one pastor. And we all know the stories of pastors who have fallen in sin, and in so doing, they have caused great damage to the gospel cause and to the church. So Arnold, as an elder, as a pastor, as a shepherd of God's flock, be on guard for your personal holiness. Arnold, know that great falls don't begin with great sin. That they begin, they end with great sin, but they begin with small sin. They begin with sin that we might call harmless. We might say it's acceptable. Sin's not acceptable. Be on guard. Guard your personal holiness in small sins so that it doesn't grow into great sin. Be on guard for yourself. Be on guard for yourself by reading and studying the Scripture. Keep your mind on the things above and not on earthly things. Wash your thinking and your thought process by the water of the Word of God. The Word of God is not just a book to go and get sermon material and to prepare to preach. The Word of God for the elder, for you as an elder, must be your life and your living. It must be something that you love. The Bible is the Word of Christ. Be on guard for yourself by staying in the Word and being a man of the Word in study and knowledge, but also in living and practice and holiness. Be on guard for yourself by prayer. Prayer is a vital part. It's a vital part of every Christian's life. But even more, it's crucial to you as a pastor. The church is instructed to pray for you, and we'll get to that part in a little bit. And you're instructed to pray for the church. But here, the charge is that you pray for yourself. Be on guard for yourself in the Scripture and in prayer. The motivation in praying for yourself is not just so you'll be blessed, but that Christ would be honored, that Christ would be glorified, that the gospel would be proclaimed, that the church would be built up through the work of the Holy Spirit. So pray that you will have wisdom and knowledge that is required for your work. Pray for humility. Pray for strength. Pray that you would walk daily in the Spirit. Pray through those trials. Pray through temptations. Be on guard for yourself also in fellowship and accountability. Build relationships, and I know that you already have some relationships, but build more and more relationships with men who are your peers, but also with men who are more mature in the faith, men who you would look to as an older brother or a father in the faith. And I have already told you, and I've mentioned it to Brother Allen, and I'll say it here publicly, I hope that your church will encourage you to be in pastors' fellowships and to associate with other churches and pastors. Our confession speaks of churches holding communion together and working together to accomplish work for Christ that we're unable to do on our own. And I hope that the church will encourage you as elders and you, Brother Arnold, as a new elder to do that. And selfishly, I hope that you'll be involved in the Reformed Baptist associations that we're involved in, so I'll get to be with you. But I'm going to be calling you and being in touch with you anyway and holding you accountable. You need to build those relationships and have relationships of accountability. So be on guard for yourself. This is the first command here. Be on guard for yourself. And the verse 28 says, be on guard for the flock. Be on guard for yourself and be on guard for the flock. Now I need to pick up the pace so that we can finish this morning. But I don't want to discount the importance here. Being on guard for the flock, the church of God. Now notice, if you'll look in your copy of God's Word, it does not say, and for the flock. It says, and for all the flock. Not just and for the flock, but and for all the flock. Now, brother, here I want to talk about why a man would desire. Now our brother read, if a man desires the office of bishop, it's a good thing, but why would you desire that? I hear men say in error, oh, well, it's just because I love people. Brother, I hope you're not doing this because you love people. If you're doing this because you love people, it's the wrong motive. Because people, well, people are people. Even Christian people still act like people. And I'm sure that no one here, and this is not a reflection on you as a church, I don't know you, but I have been around people. And if you're in ministry for people, some person will be rude, some person will be nasty, some person will not act like a Christian. And if you're in it because you love people, that's when you quit. That's when you stop. Because you say, well, I just don't feel like I love people today. You'll be tempted as people act out, if you're in it for people, to not watch out for all the flock. Well, this person's acted nasty and I don't want to watch out for them. I don't want to be on guard for that part of the flock. Well, the motivation is that you're in this because you love Christ and He's called you to. That's the motive. People change. Christ does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ does not change. So be on guard for all the flock. That's the instruction here. For all the flock, not leaving anyone out. Those that you love the most, those who you have a hard time loving, be on guard for all the flock. The reasons follow in the text. So just look, and we won't work through every word, but the reasons follow. The Holy Spirit, it says, has made you an overseer. Now, I can't make you an elder. I can't make you an overseer or a pastor, bishop. All those words the Scripture uses as the same office. Bishop, overseer, pastor, elder. I can't make you that. And the church doesn't make you that. Brother Allen doesn't make you that. The Holy Spirit makes you an overseer. And what the church does here today is to just acknowledge and affirm what the Holy Spirit has done in calling you to be a pastor. The work of the Holy Spirit in you is to call you to be an overseer so you can't be lax and you can't quit. The retirement program is wonderful, but it's not here on earth. It's in heaven. You can't quit and you can't relax the standards because you didn't make this up. This is Holy Spirit work. This is God's work. So be on guard for all the flock. Verse 28 says, the flock that He purchased. This is the flock that was purchased with the blood of Christ. So it's all the flock, and you've got to be on guard because He's called you. But also, think of this flock. This is not a burden. This is not a burden to bear. These people, this church, this is the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. This is Christ's possession. Christ has purchased the saints. So you must value all the flock, everyone, not because of inherent value. Not because they always act the best. Not because they always do the best things. You value the church because of the value of Christ. Be on guard for yourself. And be on guard for all the flock. Because the Holy Spirit has called you. And because they are the purchase of Christ through His blood. Hear the warnings. Verses 29 and 30. Wolves. Wolves. Savage wolves will come. I wish it said may come. I wish we had from the Scripture that this is a possibility. But it speaks here and elsewhere in the Scripture, in the pastoral epistles. This is a sure thing. This is a sure thing. Wolves will come. And we never want to think about that in our churches. This seems like a wonderful church. And maybe you don't want to think, well, wolves will come. But it's a promise from Scripture. Be on guard, because wolves will come, seeking to devour the sheep. And the Scripture speaks of God's people as sheep. And that's not just an accident. It's not just that God chose, we got to have one animal, let's just pick one. I think when God made sheep, He knew this will be this will be the word picture that I use for my people. And now we have cows, but we're thinking about getting some sheep. And I've been checking into getting sheep. And this is what I'm told. Sheep are vulnerable. Sheep are vulnerable to the elements. Sheep are vulnerable to every kind of predator. Sheep take special care. My cows, I can just leave them out. I do drive-by ranching, I tell people. Goats. We got rid of our goats. It was a great day. Sheep require special attention. This is why Christ has placed under shepherds to guard, to watch over. Watch out for the sheep, for all the flock, and watch out for wolves. And then it says men will arise. Now these wolves, they come in from outside, and then it says men will arise from among you. Watch out here. This is speaking, I believe, to poisonous food. To the food source, false doctrines, false teachers with damaging and deadly heresies. Be on guard. Guard the food so that when you feed the sheep, you are feeding them the pure, true milk and meat of the Word. Not mixed with anything else. Just the Word. Oh, your charge today is to be on guard for yourself and for all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you an elder. Those who were purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Live in such a way that as your pastor, you can say with Paul, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's the charge. Now, church, there's a charge for you, and for here we'll turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. The book of Hebrews is special. Well, every book of the Bible is special. Every book of the Bible is God's Word, and I have a tendency, and we shouldn't say that one part is better than the other, than another part of God's Word. It's all God's Word. Every word of it is God's. God-breathed Word. But whatever part I'm studying at the time is the part that I find to be my favorite. what I'm in right now. Hebrews chapter 13 has a charge, church, for you. Let's read verses 7 and 8. Remember those who led you, or remember your leaders, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now verse 7, it's not referring to current pastors and elders. It says remember. So I believe this is remembering those who have gone before. Remembering those who have died, who have served God faithfully. If there's a biblical command anywhere in Scripture concerning biography and concerning history, this is it. Remember those who are your leaders. So let us know the faith and the doctrine of those who've gone before. But this verse does tell us some important things. If we're going to remember those who've gone before, and we're going to remember certain things about them, well, we want to know what those things are so that we can remember that about current leaders, current elders. The verse tells us that the conduct of a minister is important. His conduct, and conduct here would include not just actions, not just words, but words and actions, word and deed. Remember those who have gone before. Remember their talk. Remember their walk. Remember their saying and their doing. Pastors, in their conduct, in their saying and doing, should be judged by the Scripture. Now, many want to judge pastors. Boy, you want a target on you? Be a preacher. Everybody's got an opinion, and people want to judge the preacher. And many want to judge the preacher by their own thoughts, by their own mind. Many want to judge the pastors and the elders by some standard that is man's invention. But a pastor must be judged by the Scripture. A pastor, that's the standard by which a church evaluates a preacher and a pastor and an elder. Then, as he holds to the Scripture, he is to be imitated as he follows Christ. Imitate his faith. This church charge to imitate the faith of your leaders speaks to the togetherness, the community of church. There is a popular idea in our world today. I think it's the American individualism. That people want to say, well, all I need is just me by myself. Just me and my Bible and Jesus, and that's all. Christ has put us together in churches. And he's placed overseers, and he's done this on purpose. This speaks of togetherness. We have these pastors, these leaders, these teachers, men that we learn from, and then we imitate their faith as they follow the Savior. Verse 8 reminds us that the standard is Christ. Remember your leaders from before? Well, now you've got new leaders. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ is the standard. Arnold Hinojosa is not the standard. Brother Allen's not the standard. I'm not the standard. No elder or pastor of a church is the standard. Christ is the standard. Jesus himself. He is the same. He doesn't change. Pastors change. Sometimes we get a new pastor in or out, or someone moves away and gets a new church. And so sometimes those things change. Times certainly change. Times change. Christ does not change. Jesus remains the same. And he is the standard. The standard, Christ Jesus, doesn't change. And as elders follow Christ, imitate their faith. Verse 17 speaks to current elders. So it speaks to where we are this morning in setting aside a new elder. Verse 17. I'm going to go ahead and read 17 and 18. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Church, if you give your pastors grief, the Scripture doesn't say it's unprofitable for them. It says it's unprofitable for you. It's unprofitable for you. Verse 18, pray for us. And we'll look at this here in a minute. Pray for us. For we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. Pray for us. In verse 17, we have this command for the church. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Church, you are instructed in God's Word to obey and submit to your elders. Obey speaks to action. What you do, doing what is commanded. Now this is not, and I've tried to make this in my church, and it hasn't worked, where I can just say, hey, go wash my car or go mow my yard. It doesn't work. And I haven't really tried that, but that's not what is spoken of here. This is not a command that an elder or a pastor gives from himself. But when an elder stands in the pulpit and speaks God's word, when an elder stands in the hallway and speaks God's word, or in your home and speaks God's word, is it God's word? Obey. You obey him and you submit to him because he is speaking for the Lord. He is speaking God's word. Open your copy and look for yourself. If it's not God's word, challenge him. I don't think that's what the Bible says. But if it is, obey. Do. Now, having had three children, having raised three children, I know there is a difference between doing and thinking. I know there is an outward doing that sometimes is not met with an inward attitude. Well, that's why I believe we have here the two things: obey your leaders and submit to them. Obedience speaks to action, but submit speaks to attitude. Let them do this with joy. This is without resentment. This is obeying your leaders with love. This is knowing that Brother Arnold, your new elder, is loving you by proclaiming the whole counsel of God's word. Love him for that. It's hard. Just last night we sat around the dinner table and talked, and I told him some things. You know, doing this right here and in this point to present the gospel in this situation, this is hard. This is hard. And he knows that. When it's hard, do it. Right? I mean, that's the thing. When it's hard. Church, it's hard. So when you can, express to him your appreciation. Love him for the work that he does. Obey and submit. Now, church, in just a moment, we're gonna call for ordination vows, and we're going to ask Brother Arnold four questions that he will answer in the affirmative. By the grace of God, I do. And you'll hear those questions. But church, you will be asked two questions. And I want to give you those questions now and talk about them a little bit, so that when we get to that portion of today's ordination service, you'll know what to expect and you can answer honestly and that you can answer thoughtfully. The first question will be this: do you acknowledge and receive Arnold Hinojosa as your new elder and promise to hold him in high esteem in the Lord? And now this question, this is for everyone, and Brother Allen, this question is even for you, because up to today, Brother Allen is Brother Arnold's elder, but after this ordination, Brother Arnold will also be Brother Allen's elder, and you will be elder and pastor for one another, and then together for the flock. So this is for everyone. This hold him in high esteem, it comes from the scripture. Arnold must see each of you as children of God, together the blood-bought church of Christ. But likewise, you must see him, church, as a gift from God, as an emblem of the love of Christ. Now, according to Ephesians 4, Christ gave some elders, and you have elders that are gifts from Christ. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, the elder who rules well is to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. This is a biblical mandate to hold your elders and to hold this new elder in high esteem. In high esteem. The second question that will be asked: do you covenant to pray for Arnold for wisdom, encouragement, spiritual growth, and sanctification? Now, we just read from Hebrews where Paul says, pray for us. I also want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 is right where, as the armor of God is being presented, we read this in verse 18. Ephesians 6:18. With all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Verse 19, and pray on my behalf. See, we have this example. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your elders. And pray on my behalf. Now, what should you pray for your new elder? That utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. Pray for your elders, pray for your new elder, that he might proclaim the gospel, that he might proclaim it with boldness, that utterance might be given, not only with the words to say and the preparation that goes into that, but also the opportunities to speak and to preach the gospel. Church, your charge this morning is to imitate the faith of your elders, to obey and submit to them in action and in attitude, and to pray for your elders, to pray for Brother Arnold as he is ordained here this morning. Now I would like to ask Brother Arnold if you will join me here. I want him to stand. I want you to hear clearly from his mouth as he hears these questions. And I've already given him these questions and talked them over with Brother Allen and with Brother Arnold so that there's no surprise. But I want you as a church to hear these questions and his commitment to this. Arnold Hinojosa, do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament are the inerrant Word of God and the only certain rule of faith and obedience?
I do.
Arnold, do you sincerely receive and adopt the confession of faith of this church, known as the Second London Baptist Confession of 1689, as the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures?
I do.
And Arnold, do you further promise that if at any time you find yourself out of accord with the confession, you will, of your own initiative, make this change known to the elders and voluntarily submit your resignation from this office?
I will.
Lastly, Arnold, do you promise to guard the purity, peace, unity, and progress of Christ's church?
By God's grace, I will.
Amen. If you just stay here with me for a minute, brother. Now, church, for you, these two questions that we've gone over, and if you can answer these, answer, we do. Sovereign Grace Fellowship, do you acknowledge and receive Arnold Hinojosa as your new elder? Do you promise to hold him in high esteem in the Lord?
We do.
Amen. And church, do you covenant to pray for Brother Arnold for wisdom, encouragement, spiritual growth, and sanctification?
We do.
Amen. Now, I have all this handwritten because I'm low tech, but I will make sure that your elders get a copy of these things in case you want to look back over them and say, what did we commit to? And hold yourself accountable for that and hold one another accountable for what you have committed to this morning. Now, I want to just very quickly talk about laying on of hands, and we're going to do this laying on of hands thing. Now, laying on of hands might seem odd. We're Baptists. We don't want to get too far out there, right? But this laying on of hands, it's something that's mentioned in the Scripture. Paul mentions the laying on of hands of Timothy. But it's symbolic. It's not. There is no magic that happens when one elder lays hands on another elder. You'll feel no vibrations of any. There'll be nothing like that. There's none of that. But it's important that we know what it is. It is a sharing of ministry. If you remember, the cloak that was passed from Elijah to Elisha symbolized a sharing. Well, in the same way, this laying on of hands symbolizes a sharing of ministry. Now, Brother Allen is ordained as an elder, a minister of the gospel, as am I. I have already told Arnold, if I couldn't even come up here, I'm still going to claim a sharing in ministry with him. There's too much here, and I'm still going to claim that sharing. That is special for me to be able to lay hands on him and pray, but even more for Brother Allen to lay hands on this man and to share in the ministry here at Sovereign Grace Fellowship, in this community, in this surrounding area. This is the symbolism of the laying on of hands. So, brother, will you join us, and we'll lay hands on this new elder, your new elder, and then we're going to pray for him. And I'll begin, brother, and then I'll let you close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gifts that you have given, even those who are called to be elders and pastors. We're given a gift of having an elder and a pastor and a person that you have put in our lives to be that gift and emblem of your love. Lord, we thank you for calling pastors. And I thank you for the friendship that I have with this brother. I thank you that our friendship and relationship is in Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would steel him for ministry, that you would give him the strength and the backbone, the boldness to proclaim your word without apology, without a crack in the voice, that he would proclaim your word well. God, give his mind a special blessing to understand what you have in Scripture. Some things, as Peter has said, they're hard. Give him a special dispensation of your grace to understand the things of Scripture, to understand specifically and especially what Christ Jesus has done on Calvary, on the cross. That give him the words that he might explain, that he might deliver that message with love, with tenderness, without modification, without apology to any, to all. God, I pray for his ministry here. I pray that you would bless him and that you would bless the church through his ministry. Not to the end that Arnold would benefit, not even to the end that the church would benefit, but to the end that Christ would be glorified. And we know, Lord, that your church will benefit as you are lifted up, as you are glorified. And we know that your man will benefit as well. But Lord, our primary focus and objective is that you would be glorified and that you'd be honored. And I pray these things in your name. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we certainly count it a real privilege to, if we could look at it in another way, to enter into the harness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ together, to put on the harness together. And as each buckle is tightened or each line is straightened, anyone who knows anything about the art of driving horses knows that a team must work together. And Lord, we pray that we might be able to do these things, being reminded from the Scriptures that iron sharpeneth iron too, as well as we sharpen and hone the very instruments that we use, the Word of God, that you would enable us to do these things for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the benefit of these, your sheep, and we as your sheep. Lord, we pray for strength for our brother as he takes on the role here as elder and as pastor, and we ask that you would help us all to abide by the words that we spoke just a moment ago together and in unison, that we do affirm these things, and if we can borrow from the scriptures and the ceremony of marriage, that it be until death do us part. For we know that, Lord, we do depart from here in death, but only to be made alive again in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are grateful people and very thankful for that. I'm thankful for Brother Gill as he comes and traveled these many miles to aid us in this ceremony. We're thankful that he is a fellow brother in Christ, that we labor together on common ground, that we are separated by miles, we are close in spirit and in thought. So guide us in those things that we do together, and that it might be the beginning of a long-term relationship here, not only here on earth, but we're thinking of an eternal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ throughout all eternity. We pray your blessing upon all of our efforts this day, that you might have been glorified through it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. sure as the old emotions again kicking in, but we're grateful.
Let's take our hymnals, please, and turn to number 53. Number 53. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are delighted to have been here this day, recognizing the work of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of His work and His holding us accountable, each and every one. We have taken an oath of sorts this day, and Lord, we do pray that You will enable us to abide by those oaths that we did take, and those things that we did lay hold of, those things that we proclaimed publicly, those as we said them aloud. Help us in the future, and as we endeavor to share the gospel message with those who are outside of Christ, to enable others who from this local countryside, and that now we have a co-labor. We've had all along co-laborers who labor, though by separated by many miles, yet they proclaim the same gospel message there in Texas as it is here in Pennsylvania. And Lord, we are delighted to know that it will be the same God who paid the debt for those people whom You have called to be Yourself, the sheep, the very sheep who need protection and guidance. And that, Lord, You would lead us to do those things which are glorifying to Your name. And that, Lord, will lead Your children not only through this life, but completely on to our eternal reward. We give You the thanks and the praise for the opportunity You've had for or allowed us to be a part of, and the experience that we've been allowed to be a part of this day as well. We pray now that You will bless us as we are dismissed to our fellowship time together, where we might enjoy one another's company for a short period as we remember those things that you have provided for us, and then bless them for this occasion. And as we partake and gain nourishment for our bodies, and we begin the task of sharing what we have within us outwardly, so that others might be able to see and to challenge them to be a part of us as well. Lead us in the way everlasting. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, just before we sing the doxology, I do want to mention that today is officially Pastor Appreciation Day as well, too. And although I don't think we have a cake or anything to that nature, but we do have a couple of pastors here. So if you would just take advantage of the time that we have just to say a word of thanks to them for their faithfulness in God's Word and their hard work that they do on His behalf to glorify the name of our Lord and Savior. Now, with all that being said, let's sing the doxology and then eat together.
Praise God
dismissed.